podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The Bishop and the Bear, the Bishop and the Bear, and to the delight of everyone, they are here to share jokes and rants and guests and things. Who knows what any fun they'll bring?
Not affiliated with the Mad Bishop and Bear pub at Paddington Station.
The Bishop and the Bear, bats beyond compare. Buckets of savoir faire, the Bishop and the Bear.
Welcome back to the Bishop and Bear. We've got lots of fun stuff to talk about this week, and our guest, well, to be honest, she's been on the show so many times, I think that the Barstool has got her arse print in it. Yeah.
There's a special stool.
Yeah, in fact, she's got her own arse
stool. We've got a special Annie stool.
Her own, it's a special Annie stool, that doesn't sound right, but I do know what you mean. It is, of course, St. Annie of Exeter. Hello, Annie.
Hello. Can I have a pint of whiskey, please?
A pint of whiskey?
Yeah, it's been one of those morning.
Okay. It's going to be our finest single malt, a Glenmorangie, in a pint glass.
Lovely. I love a single malt.
Only on the condition you promise you're not going to put any Coca-Cola, water,
God, no.
Or just a bit of ice, possibly,
no, I don't
but
want
preferably
ice
not.
Even. No, I don't even want ice.
Do you need a glass, or do you just want to neck it?
No,
in the bottle?
Yeah. Just have
give
the
you
bottle.
A bottle, yeah?
In the true manner of the al fresco Glasgow drinker.
Exactly.
Probably not with the Glenmorangie, but there we go. And of course, as ever, our genial landlord is here, making sure everybody's drinks are charged and he's glad-handing and just generally being sociable. Some things to talk about. There's a couple of very similar incidents, one in the England game and one possibly seemed to get more attention, but we'll unpick it a little bit with Neil Brand. Out or not out? If you don't know, we'll explain that. We'll look back at the Visca Putnam test and, of course, a little bit ahead to the what we think could be a run fest, at least I do, in Rajkot. Certainly has been in previously. We'll look at how South Africa are getting on in New Zealand, South Africa C, as they've been lovingly called. Under-19 World Cup, somehow Australia roll on, just like their grown-up counterparts. They just find a way.
Bloody Australian.
And because they're Australian. And because it's Annie, and it's... Well, there should be a new County Cricket Matters coming out, and we want to know what's in it. Chance to have a little natter about that. So let's start with this Neil Brand thing. Now, full confession, both of you, had you read the actual background? Do we know what we're talking about? I mean, on that particular incident, not generally, because...
I got what I gleaned of it off of the WhatsApp group, but I think Gary Handley put the crick info... description of the ball and the dismissal on the WhatsApp group. And my immediate thought was this is exactly the same as Hartley in our game in Visca Putnam. Vizag. But and so it didn't really, because we finally got to the bottom of that explanation, so it didn't really I mean, it's still a little bit confusing, but having known what the situation was in our game, it wasn't unsurprising that the same situation happened there. And people said exactly the same things about that one.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that everybody's got an opinion, haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here, just for in case you don't know, and you're joining us in the pub today in the Bishop and Bear, here is it. South African's captain, Neil Brand, edged a delivery from Matt Henry, brilliantly caught by Tom Blundell. The umpire, who was Ashan Raza, raised his finger. Brand decided that he wanted to review it, so it went to DRS. The television replays showed that the ball missed his bat, which it wasn't that far behind, but flicked his back pad, causing the deflection, which ended up in Blundell's gloves. The third umpire checked to see if Brand had been trapped LBW. Ball tracking indicated umpire's call for the ball pitching in line with the stumps and umpire's call for hitting the stumps. So usually, given that Brand was initially given out by the on-field umpire, that should have ensured that he was dismissed. But because umpire Raza had ruled that the skipper was out caught and not given out LBW, he was given not out. I mean, he didn't make a lot of difference. I think he scored 4 and 3, a total of 7 runs in that entire game, and of course they got a whopping. But nonetheless, don't we think that's a bit strange, Annie?
It is definitely a strange law, isn't it? Because like we were discussing earlier, I mean, you don't say when you're appealing, you don't go, how's that LBW, or how's that caught behind, or how's that caught in the deep?
So they must have consulted, we think, between Ashant Raza and whoever the off-field umpire was. You're right. Our WhatsApp group, as Bear said, particularly the social members, were, you know, getting very vexed about it. I've got an analogy. Try this for an analogy. See if it works. A speed camera. You're flashed by a speed camera. You go, hang on, I'm sure I wasn't doing it. It's a 30-mile-an-hour limit. You go, I'm sure I wasn't doing 30-mile-an-hour limit, the 30 miles an hour. So you complain, and it proves that you weren't. At the same time, you happen to be leaning out the window firing a gun at someone. Does the law then go, well, we weren't looking for that? So basically, carry on. You're fine.
Well, no.
Sorry about the person you shot, but we were only looking for speeding.
I'm not sure that's a very good analogy, Tone, but. The gun out the window would certainly get you in trouble. Being umpires call on both.
Well, wouldn't LBW not be as well?
Well, yeah.
Obviously, you haven't killed anyone by being LBW, but.
This is my point. It was exactly the same as the Hartley one. And the decision that came back, and this might have been changed over the last couple of years, because I seem to remember that a few years ago something happened like this in a test match. But it might be that actually the ball hit in line and was going on to hit, and therefore the LBW was given. But the ruling in the English game, which was exactly the same, so it was Hartley batting, they went up for a caught behind, it was given out by the umpire. Turned out he'd missed it. Again, it had hit his pad. It had hit him in line. No, it hadn't hit him in line. It was umpire's call in line. It was umpire's call on off stump. And he was given not out. And Rohit rightly went up to the umpire, because I said, at the immediate point that it showed that, I was like, oh, shit, he's going to be given out here, because obviously it's umpire's call. It's umpire's call, and he's been given out on the field, right? But the umpire's initial decision was out caught behind. That being the case, and that being told that he's heard the third umpire, the fact that it's in line, it's completely dismissed as LBW. I believe if it had been in line and hitting, it would have therefore been out. But because it was umpire's call and he was giving out caught behind, that's what the umpire stipulated he was giving out to.
It was very confusing at the time.
Confusing at the time. That was the decision, and therefore it is not out, because they weren't giving it out for LBW. So umpire's call doesn't matter, and the game moves on. That was the decision given in the England game, and I presume it was the same decision game.
It sounds like it was, because they were saying, well, you're not being tried for LBW, you're being tried and given out.
I think a better analogy would be something like something to do with VAR, wouldn't it? If they were looking, they weren't looking for offside, they were looking for handball, and they didn't give, if they gave a goal.
Yeah, but in football, then they would go, but VAR would then say he's offside.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly,
VAR
they would.
Everything.
Yeah. They VAR would, so partly I would say, then surely he's out, isn't he?
Well, that's the thing.
If the evidence proves the crime, then you're guilty, then...
Yeah.
Punishment as appropriate. It just seemed odd that, you know, because he wasn't, you know, the umpire can only put his finger up once. What, you know, is the umpire actually supposed to go, could be both, I'll put two fingers up, I'll do that.
Yeah, and take one down.
But clearly they were going up for caught behind, and clearly the umpire gave the caught behind in both instances.
Why clearly?
Because everyone behind the wicket's going up like that for caught behind, the keeper's throwing the ball in the air.
They do that for LBW.
True. But I mean, they threw the ball up in the air. That was the, like, if you catch it and it's LBW, you're just appealing for LBW, and everyone goes out like that. I don't know. It's slightly different appeal.
I think from the batting side perspective, it would fall in. I genuinely think he should have been out. I would put it in the category of, well, that's bad luck.
Yeah.
And probably got his justice. Well, in the end, ill branded. Maybe I'm not so sure about Hartley.
Well, yeah, because he could have been out two different ways.
Exactly that. I mean, that was exactly what I thought when Hartley was given not out, and I was kind of with Rohit because Rohit was like, well, going up to the umpire, going, well, you gave him out, and therefore, if it's umpire's called, he's still out, isn't he? He's out OEW. But apparently, that wasn't the case. Yeah. So.
It's one of these ones you could argue forever, you know.
It is. Maybe it will lead to a law change. Who knows?
It will be like they're trying to bring in blue cards, aren't they? For football now. So it will be. Just imagine the argument.
Don't get us on that one. This is a cricket show.
No, we probably should. If you stumble across a body in the woods, does it matter if they were shot or stabbed? They're still dead.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean,
what is it about you and dead bodies?
Yeah, what's going on today?
I don't know. I've been dealing with.
You planning something evil?
No, well, possibly, given that I've been having to deal with some rotoring issues by somebody who can't get their head around time zones. And I'm very close to either stabbing or shooting. I don't know which one it is.
But okay, you heard it here first.
You've heard it here first, police.
I would never do that. He's a lovely man. Oh, I gave away the gender. Oh, that narrows it down a bit.
It wasn't me.
Yes.
Possibly, you've got your
yeah, you got your excuse.
So, okay, a vote. I say out. Annie?
I say out.
You say out.
I'd have actually said out, to be fair, but clearly the laws say no. Well, the current ruling says no. So, I mean, my initial opinion was it should have been given out just because, exactly as you say, I mean, at the end of the day, he was given out. As we all know, you appeal for out in cricket. You don't say to the umpire, as you rightly said before we came on air, you don't say, I'm appealing for caught behind. You go, how's that? And everyone goes, is it out? And the umpire makes a decision. And if the umpire makes a decision, it's out. And it doesn't really matter how you're out. You are out. And if it is umpire's called on both and he was given out, then it should have remained out. That was my feeling. You know, being an England supporter, I was quite happy that Hartley stayed there, but we weren't going to win anyway. But
well, again, in both cases, you could argue there's a degree of divine justice because Brand certainly didn't trouble the scorers for very long, and I know that annoys some people, particularly those who are scorers. Even if they get a nought, you still have to write it down. It's always the argument you hear. I remember.
It's a duck, not a nought.
Well, a duck, whatever Thank it you. May be. But either way, they could be hunted, can't they, ducks? Shoot them.
Yeah, shoot that.
Right. Okay.
Talking of shoots, I'll have another shot.
Agreed. Common sense should have prevailed, is, I think, the team view around the bar here. Right, let's talk a little bit about Vishakhapatnam, which I continue to say really quickly. There's a comment I picked up, Annie, from Alistair Cook. And it seemed to be bang on the money to me. 20s and 30s don't win you tests. Mm-hmm. That seemed a pretty fair summary of the difference between the sides, really, didn't it? In the first game at Hyderabad, didn't we? We had the best bowling performance, the best batting performance. We won. Admittedly, it was close. Far and away this time, you know, we just made bits and pieces scores, bar Crawley twice. And it's the 70s don't win you the games, it's the 150s, 200s do.
Or the toss.
Yes, I agree, but in this instance, well, I see what the bear thinks. The track seemed to behave pretty bloody well for most of, you know, up to and including day three. So, yeah, the toss was useful, but somebody went ahead and made 200 plus, and we'll talk about that. And England just got bits and pieces scores.
Yeah, they did.
I think that's fair enough to say, but then apart from... Well, Shubman Gill in the second innings, but he got a chance, didn't he? But I mean, apart from that, if you look at the scores across the three innings, you know, Jaiswal won the game for India. Hence, he won man of the match, and good luck
to
him.
Yeah, I mean, the next highest score was
30 something for them in their first innings. You know, I mean, he scored 209 out of 396 or something. So, you know,
and that wins matches.
And that wins matches. And Ollie Pope, second innings, scored 196 out of. Nearly 400, won us the match in the first innings. Often how it goes in India, you know, you get in, you got to make it count. And I think you're right, Annie. I think winning tosses in India makes a big difference. I mean, the pitch didn't deteriorate that much, you're right. But by day four, it was up and down, and some were keeping low, and a couple of people got out to balls that misbehaved. And it only got worse as the game got on. And what it didn't do was rag, particularly. which made it kind of easier to bat, but it's pretty slow. And the ones that keep low are almost, well, they're as bad as the ones that jump, I suppose. Three people had a virus. You know, Stokes
yeah.
didn't.
Yeah, that's
Stokes didn't,
not going to help, is it?
Yeah, no, Stokes didn't want to put it down.
Root hurt his finger.
Yeah.
I mean, we should worry a little bit about Root, but he did hurt his finger, and did, like, would it been tough to bat on that? I suppose.
It might have coloured it. I mean, the thing I think is interesting, if we could stick on Root for a minute, is you know, everyone's saying to a certain extent he's trying to be too baseball-y, and that's not his game. The reality is, look at his numbers before and since baseball, or since Baz McCullum took over, and by and large he's demonstrably got better.
His average has gone up, hasn't it? It was 49 point something pre-baseball. Mine is a lot more pre-baseball than there is post-baseball,
well,
to be fair.
I'm just going to find it. Hang on.
I don't know what he's
53,
been like.
54.
I don't know what he's been like in India before. I can't really remember what.
Very good. Generally.
Pretty good.
Our best
so,
bat,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so we'd he's, be expecting
I can
him.
Tell you a couple of things there. He's in an elite club. He's the fifth man only to have passed 1,000 runs in India.
In India.
Who,
right.
As a visiting batsman.
Yeah.
I think he's on 1,064.
He's top of the list, isn't he?
At an average of best part of 44. He's not top of the list. The top of the list, Bear, is a man you know very well.
Foxy Fowler? No.
No. No.
Ricky Ponting?
No. Who is a cricketer you know very well, having been his chauffeur?
Oh. Clive Lloyd?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep, 1,359 runs at 75.5, Clive
wow.
Lloyd in India. Second,
go.
Alistair Cook. Third, Gordon Greenidge. Fourth,
Greenidge.
Matthew
Greenidge.
Hazen. Greenwich, beg his pardon.
Greenidge.
Gordon Greenidge.
Gordon Greenidge. All right then. Greenidge.
Just reading off the page now, aren't you?
I was. Matthew Harden. And of Australia. And Joe Root. As you think. But, yes, so the other point, which we were saying, was pre-baseball, but then, as you rightly say, that's 2012, so 10 years worth.
Yeah,
251 innings, averages 49, and a strike rate of 54, Joe Root. Post Brendan McCullum, 35 innings, 53, average strike rate of nearly 76. So I think it's more, he will come good with that weight
yeah,
of run.
I mean, we just jump on people when they're going through bad forms, don't we really? But
well, this is it. He will have a good game, won't he? He'll have a match-defining game. He'll probably get a ton somewhere in the series. Hopefully, it's in a meaningful game where things are still on the line. And to be fair, this game goes at least. I mean, this series now goes at least two more tests. I mean,
it's still live for two more tests,
isn't it? So.
Yeah.
I do think India are a little bit confused, like everyone else, when they come up against baseball. I mean, people don't generally go to India and play like this, do they? Yeah. I mean, Ashwin's been going at 5-6 and over at times. He's not used to that at all. Same with Jadeja, you know.
He may well not be fit as well, I think, for the next game either, Annie, isn't he?
Jadeja, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have taken that quick run that he got run out of.
Yeah, well... That's a great run out, though, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah,
it's fantastic.
I mean, who would expect that to be run out? Absolutely.
Well, we should probably blow the Jazz Wales trumpet.
Oh, God.
Wasn't he magnificent?
Fantastic. I mean, when you've got a player like that, in both tests, he's done really, really well. And he's looked unstoppable, really, at times.
Exactly. I mean, he is the man, isn't he? England needs. Yeah, I mean, this is it. If Kohli doesn't come back, and it's mooted that he's not going to be back for the next two tests that I was reading yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Still away, yeah. So they've got a big problem in the middle order. I mean, they are.
He's all right.
Yeah, same here. No one knows, isn't it? It's very mysterious about what's going on with him. But it's to England's favour, because he certainly bolted that middle order. I mean, Shreyas Iyer has done not much. Shubman Gill had got a ton. Yeah, but other than that. Jaswell got what? You got an 80 in the first innings in the first game, and not much in the second innings. So you got.
Yeah, he hasn't done brilliantly in either second innings, has he?
18-15. He got two, but his big innings was 209 off 290. I don't think, from memory, do I recall a chance he gave away?
I don't think so. And he hit it aerial a lot, but he didn't actually hit it to anybody, I don't seem to remember. There might have been one or two sharp chances past Root at slip, actually. But they weren't certainly gimmies. They were, you know, flashing hard. I think Root got fingertips to one. But yeah. He batted really well.
Extraordinarily well, yeah. And it's very exciting for them to have that yeah. sort of talent.
And also
a test talent as well. I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think he's sort of the poster boy for all the right kind of ambitions. Remember, he was the lad who moved home at 12 from the rural part of Uttar Pradesh to Mumbai to get to play cricket. Slept in tents, sold street food, whatever he could do.
Yeah.
To follow his dream. He'd got that 170 odd, I think, in the Caribbean, hadn't he? But a 200 in a game against England where didn't have their backs to the wall, but, you know, they were clearly very stung by losing that first test. You know, if you have to lose with good grace, which England most certainly did, and lose to a knock like that, hold your hands up and say, you know, well done, lad. I'm quite a fan of the Jazzwell.
Exactly. And to be fair, England didn't do too bad a job at that chase when you think about it. I mean, they got to 290 chasing 390 on, you know, having lost a fair few wickets early on. No one really expected them to get there, but...
I harboured at some point just a little belief that they might, and then it all just seemed to fall apart just too quickly, as it so often does.
Well, it did and it didn't. You know, there was those two wickets before. There was those two wickets just before lunch, wasn't there? Where I think Bairstow got out and someone else got out in quick succession just before lunch. Yeah, Stokes got done by another belter of a delivery, didn't it? Beat his outside edge and bowled him, I think. And Bairstow got caught LBW. Bumrah bowled extraordinary. I mean, I was even reading the other day that they might be resting Bumrah for the next test.
He did run
an awful lot of overs.
Well, he did, and he was their most effective bowler. He got nine wickets. He got 9 wickets across two innings. He got six in the first, three in the second. Bowled an awful lot of overs. Was their most successful bowler.
He's awesome. I really like him.
I mean, he is. He is a superstar. He really is a superstar. But I mean, the impression I got from the article I read was that, you know, he's only just come back from what was basically
an injury
to the back, which is a stress factor, I think, like everyone else. And they don't want to overdo it, so they might arrest him for this next test.
Well, the other thing you've got to think about is that as we look up to Rajkot next, isn't it? Sort of up in Gujarat, sort of slightly to the south and west of Ahmedabad, if I've got my geography right. The previous, there's only two test matches there. They have both been full of runs. England got a draw there in 2016. England made 537 and India followed that with 488, which suggests it's pretty decent. And then in 2018, India made 649 for nine declared. And then the West Indies did fall over, but they were very much in their falling over period then. So if you look at that, you kind of in a way go back, don't you, to that thought that, you know, if you prepare ranked earners, you create a situation which is a leveller and your arguably less experienced spinners can get more out of it. I think I used an analogy in another chat, might even have been last week in the pub, of the old baseball ground at Derby, which was basically just a mud pie where they had to actually paint the dot on the penalty spot. That's a leveller. Whereas if you have a beautiful batting track, and your spinners have to have that much more experience and skill to winkle out the wickets, that would actually work in the favour of the team with the more experienced spinners, which of course, undeniably, even is India, really. So yeah, I think I'm expecting, and he's, to Annie's point, absolutely winning the toss is going to be hugely important.
But I think we should just mention Anderson because think.
Yeah, he bowled really well. As
he
well.
Bowled really, really well, and he was. It was just amazing to watch him those first early wickets that he got, and just coming in and reversing the ball, and just awesome bowling for a 41-year-old lad.
What do you make of his hair, Annie? What do you make of the...
He's covering up the grey, isn't he?
What we all want to know.
I don't like it myself, but there you are.
You don't like it?
Old-fashioned. No, I don't like it. I like it nice and natural looking.
Au naturel.
Au naturel, yes.
I quite like it.
I'd go along with that.
I don't mind him.
He carries it off. One thing I think I would say, he carries it off. Many of us couldn't.
Yeah, he does, absolutely. I just think he is covering up the grey, basically.
Do you know he's now the 7th highest wicket taker amongst visiting bowlers in India? People say he can't bowl there.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
He takes his wickets at an average of 27 in India. The top three, not surprisingly, are spinners. But actually the fourth one is a pace bowler. That's it. There's only two in the top seven. There's only two who are seamers. Courtney Walsh and Jimmy. And the top three are kind of interesting. Nathan Lyon, surprise. Derek Underwood.
Hey.
Is this foreign bowler?
Yes. Yeah. Lily Derek. And a certain Richie Beno, third.
Brilliant.
There you go. And he played a lot less matches to take a lot more wickets. He took 52 wickets in India at 18. Richie.
Bloody hell.
There you go. But yes, I mean, it does raise the question of do they keep an unchanged side, or do they mix the bowling resources up? If I did anything, do we think an extra seamer might be something they'd consider?
Yeah, I wondered that.
Well, England? Well, I was saying that in the last one. I don't think you need to pick four spinners. I think you need to...
Depends if Root can bowl as well, doesn't it?
Well, Root can bowl, clearly.
Yeah, but he didn't... He hurt his finger, didn't he? I don't know how bad it is. Yeah.
But Ray and Armin bowled all right. Sherwood bowled all right. And, you know, it's... And Hartley bowled okay. So, I think if Root can bowl, I think he just... it gives you more options. I'd probably go for Ollie Robinson.
Yeah.
I think he might well flourish in those conditions. He's got a good little cutter as well. He's definitely got one where he can cut the ball. Gets it to go both ways, if there is anything to go both ways with. So, you know, I would be tempted to go in that direction. I don't know who drops out.
No, that's a tough one.
Well, I mean, Bashir would probably be the guy that drops, because you want a lefty, and then you've got the option with, you think that Rayan Ahmed offers it both ways.
Yeah.
And then Root is your right armour.
Well, Ahmed bowled some really great balls.
Yes.
Some dross and some got... I mean, he gets hit around quite a bit, but he bowled some excellent balls as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it will show Bashir's your offie, but you, if providing Root's finger's okay...
Yeah.
Then
it was his pinky anyway, so that really shouldn't affect...
Yeah, it should be okay, shouldn't it?
Should be all right.
But I don't know about Leach either. Is he...
Well, that's the other thing. Does Leach... Well, is he? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's only a bruised knee. After 2 weeks, you'd think he'd be all right.
I should think so, but he is a delicate blossom. And Harry Hood, is he going to come back?
No news on that, so no. It's not looking like it. No.
They have it's a bit like Kohli, isn't it? There's
radio silence completely.
Well, I think it's very good. I mean, so we shouldn't be trying to find out what's wrong with them, what's wrong with them, because it's all, you know, it should be a private thing.
Kohli, with his, you know, he's such a fan and ambassador for Test cricket.
Yeah.
You just have to rely on and trust it's something serious. Clearly was with is with Harry Brook as well. But you'd have heard some noises by now, I suspect, if Brook was going to be in the next test. But who knows? I mean, do you think Annie, Shoaib, Tom Hartley, Rehan Ahmed, can they kind of learn on the job fast enough to haul England back, do you think? On a pitch that may well be hard work, particularly if you don't get to bat first.
I think they have learned. I think they have been learning while they're playing. They're not going to bloody get a chance to learn during the county season, are they? So,
Well, there you are. Can you imagine if you had, you know, you could somehow have Derek Underwood in his pomp and rotate your selection of other bowlers around him?
Not bad, eh?
That would be, what a difference that would give England. I was a big Derek Underwood fan.
I can tell.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, do we know anything more about Ranji Trophy games at Rajkot? I mean, presumably they have ranked earners there as well. It's just a question of what they decide to prepare for the test match, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I think it's generally known to be a very good batting.
Good batting, yeah.
Okay. That means we're going to go 5 days. I don't want to go 5 days.
Yes, you do.
No.
Well, yes, unfortunately, that's the BCCI doesn't take into account, you know,
sleep you have to get up early
starts in Guerrilla Studios.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've done the raters for this test, and I'm giving you, you've got bags of time off.
I've got Saturday and Sunday off, haven't I? Apart from
yeah, that's
bags
Saturday.
Of time.
You're
that's
coming in for a bit of Saturday. Yeah. As ever, you've got your Sunday off. Jason's riding to the rescue.
I was supposed to be going to fucking Gran Canaria for 4 days.
Oh.
But,
such is life.
Okay, anyway.
So anyway, were there going to be any changes?
Especially on a beach like this right behind me. That's what I was looking forward to, but yeah.
What do we think changes-wise? If you had to make a change, are we saying possibly a seamer and it might be Robinson for a spinner? And
yeah,
go with
Bashir
two seamers?
Probably, yeah.
And I would rather probably go show Bashir would probably be my... Which I think is a little bit harsh on him. I think, the other thing is if Leach comes back and you're going to go that way, then maybe Leach gets in for Hartley, which is also a little bit harsh. Mm-hmm. But Leach is your frontline spinner who has the most experience and was the most economical of the spinners in the game he played when he was injured, and certainly has a little bit more nous.
And you don't want to keep Hartley in just because he can bat as well.
No.
I have to see how his golf goes in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Apart from Rehan Ahmed, of course, who thinks golf is for old men and doesn't want to have anything to do with it.
Good on him.
Yeah,
exactly. It is so much the McCullough Stokes mentality, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two hard test matches. We're not going to go there and play much cricket. We're just going to enjoy
it. We're just going to go have fun and join our families.
Something about a Turkish TV series he wants to catch up with.
Yeah. Weird.
That's unusual, but there we go. If that's what he wants to do, good luck to him. Sorry, Bear, you were going to say something.
No, I was just confirming that. Yeah, the Turkish TV series. I thought that was a bit odd. Why Turkish? Must be really good. Maybe I should try and find it.
Because it's a delight.
Fucking hell. That's terrible.
Right, South Africa. Let's talk about South Africa C. And we've had some of our South African friends on who are very clear about their opinions.
I haven't heard what they said.
Pretty much that by hook or by crook, it devalues the South African brand and the test game generally. And whatever excuses Cricket South Africa give you, it's wrong that you go and play a high-profile test series. It's disrespectful to New Zealand because someone somewhere went, don't think we'd do that if it was in our five test series in England, including a test at Lord's, but I think probably New Zealand's all right.
I think it's really, really, really sad. That's the thing that I think mostly. I think, this should be the main thing, and also... test series in New Zealand, those grounds, they are beautiful. And why aren't you going over there and all making the most of it? I just think it's crazy. Absolutely. I think it's really, really sad. I really do. I think it's sad that South African cricketers feel the way they do, and that obviously there's money issues and stuff. So I do think it's a really bad state of affairs for test cricket.
I don't know, for players, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, someone like Rabada who goes, yeah, I should be playing for South Africa, but actually it's a lot easier to stay at home and play this stuff.
Yeah, but it's...
And they're getting paid probably more money to play on the SA T20, and that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Again,
I think that's why it's a That's why it's sad. It's it's the wrong way round.
Mm.
You should be paying. That should be the pinnacle. That should be the thing that you really want to do, because that's the best payment. That's the best exposure. You know.
Yeah.
And it's just a sad state of affairs, really. That's what's going to happen. We're going to just be a franchise world.
We are, unfortunately, unless they start making Windows and cut it all back. But that's
not going to happen, because the TV companies don't want that.
No, and we're back round to the bloody governing bodies, distribution of funds. Well, here we go again, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it is indeed the pinnacle. Yeah. As Ricky Ponting named his wine, although he was talking about the Ashes, wasn't he, in his naming of the fine Baroque Shiraz.
Bears right. I mean, what, you know, the South African players, you know, why would they go away and play when they could stay at home, earn more money?
Yeah.
It devalues the World Test Championship. It devalues the experience for people watching, because you want to see the best opponents that the opponents can bring.
I think it's setting a precedent as well. I think and that's the dangerous thing. I think more than any other team. I mean, West Indies have been guilty of it for a while for the same reasons, you know,
yes.
for the same understandable reasons. But you're not taking your best. Well, the whole point is you play cricket, and then the best 11 or the best 14 or whatever are chosen to play for the country, and that's how it goes. Maybe it's just a tradition that we should just get over, but it's
well, no, I mean, it is the pinnacle of the game, isn't it? I mean, that's what we all like to watch, and we
there
all
is
like
nothing
to watch
more exciting.
Hard. No,
there's
exactly.
nothing more exciting than watching.
So they are sort of getting what they deserve, our South Africa. The sad thing is, do they care? And then that
imagine
really,
I imagine the players who are out there.
No one wants to go out and lose, do they?
No, exactly.
The players that plays a game to lose it. Well, if you do, it's for nefarious, dodgy gambling reasons normally.
Well, exactly that. I mean, some of those players out there, some of them have played in test matches before.
Yeah,
weren't deep good enough. No, not a lot of them. There's about three or four or five of them, isn't there?
It sets you on a spiral, and you lose, so you don't want to play, and then you don't want to play test cricket because you lose, and then you stop playing, and then they don't have another team to take out. You know, it's all that sort of shit, basically.
The thin end of the wedge gets thinner.
And you know, it doesn't help that you're watching it in New Zealand and there's nobody in the bloody crowd, and you're thinking,
why am I here?
Yeah.
Well, let's lighten the tone.
Okay, sorry.
Team
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah, I've had a bad enough morning without getting depressed in your bar.
Santani.
You can drown your sorrows at least here.
At least the barman's friendly.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Landlord is a bit of a sod sometimes, but you know, the barman's always friendly. let's look to a look at the future, a glimpse at the future. How much of the Under 19 World Cup have you seen?
Well, I did watch the end of the Pakistan-Australia game yesterday.
Well, let's start there. It was a belter, wasn't it?
But
the weird thing was, to me, it was the stereotypes of the more grown-up version of the two teams.
Bloody Australia.
Australia, find a way.
Were they down and out, and somehow Pakistan managed to fuck it up, and Australia came back? Was that?
Yeah,
They were
9 wickets down, basically, and you know, they had to face at least 4 or 5 overs, wasn't it? But they didn't need many runs. But
it was a fine effort at the end. What was it? Raf McCallum.
Yeah.
Was only 19, but
under
real. It was only 19, as in runs that he scored.
Oh, wow.
Because it's the Under-19 World Cup, it doesn't mean you have to score 19 or under there. It's about
No, I thought you meant he was only 19 as he's only 19 years old. I was like, yeah, well, that's bloody obvious, isn't it?
Anyway, but it was a characterful innings. And who else made runs? Oliver Peake. I mean, these aren't names I necessarily know, but it has been, and it is in South Africa as well, isn't it? Am I right?
And it's brilliant that it's televised. I mean,
it's televised. It's got good quality commentators, dare I say, which I think is often a mark of how much you respect a tournament. You put your best talent on it.
We've also had Mel Thingy doing it. Physically disabled team out in India. England won two of the games out of five, which is really good, fantastic. In India as well, so you know.
Good to Yeah. Anyway, if you're looking out for it, then the final for that under 19 tournament is going to be, let's find out, Sunday.
Who
it's
going
to be Sunday in Benoni.
India versus Australia?
Well, would you believe it? Strike me down with a feather and colour me surprised. Yes, it's going to be India versus Australia. However,
should be a good game.
Promises to be pretty entertaining, I reckon.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and catch some of that.
Imagine India under 19s is really quite strong.
Yeah. Well, they both got there for a reason, haven't they? And Pakistan just did Pakistan things.
Yeah.
They had the game.
Typically erratic.
Yeah. Wow. That's why we love them, though.
No, I know. I adore Pakistan.
1 minute they can destroy someone, and the next minute they can be so pathetic as to throw away a completely winning situation. But. Yeah. That's why we like Pakistan.
Listen to he'd probably agree, to be fair.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, this has been fun. It's going to be, I'm ringing the time bell. It's going to be drinking up time. But whilst you're just supping the last of Annie's pint.
I'm just knocking back the last dregs of my whiskey.
Glenmorangie. What would actually happen to you if you did knock back a pint of
A
pint of whiskey,
I'd be hospitalised.
Yeah, well, we don't want that. We definitely don't.
That's a lot of whiskey.
Don't want
a lot of whiskey.
Cigarettes, whiskey, and wild, wild women, or whatever.
I'll have the wild women, but I don't want the other two.
Fair enough. Tell us.
Yeah.
What is when? When is the next County Cricket Matters? What is going to be in it, and why isn't? I thought I was supposed to be in for doing an article, then you never chased me and I forgot about it. I was going to do something about...
Trouble is, Tony, I chase people and then I sort of feel like I've done it and then I forget. And then the problem is I get loads of articles suddenly come at me and I'm like, oh God, I asked this person to do this. So,
I think we should swap. We should do a job swap, you and me.
Basically,
cricket manner.
You scatter
gun. You do the rotors.
Yeah.
You need six articles. You ask 10 people, and if seven come back, you choose them and forget about reminding the people who've forgotten. That's not a bad strategy.
Yeah.
That's the bare editorial policy. That works. Anyway, what's coming up in it? That's what we want to know. When and what?
I haven't finally decided what's going in it, I've got an article, a nice article from Alan Wilkins, him of Glamorgan. And Gloucestershire fame. I've got my interview with James Rue.
Ooh.
So, that will be...
Any little teasers you can give us on that?
No, I'm not giving any teasers whatsoever.
Just a little
teaser. Got to buy the magazine.
Yeah, well, Tony does.
Yeah, well... Same thing, I
and
don't.
You've started spelling my name right.
I know.
I'll take that as a major step forward.
Yeah. And I've got... There's a couple of an article on Essex and Yorkshire, which are quite
they've both got interesting things.
Yeah, basically it's quite interesting, and then some fun silly ones as well. So I'm just waiting for an article from a rather good writer. He's hoping to get it in, so I won't say whether I've got him or not, because it might have to be in the next one.
Rather good writer.
Yeah.
And how is Gary?
He hasn't written for a while. I'll have to chase him.
Oh, well, do you know what? Mrs. Bishop just gave Gary, if he listens, ever listens to this, a ringing endorsement. She doesn't know Gary. But he'd written a review of the play I went to see last night. Not he'd written it when it first came out, the play. But I sent it and she went, this is really, really good. And she's like a former English and drama teacher.
Well, there you are, then. Well, he is a good writer.
So, Gary, boy, there you go. You've had the highest endorsement you could possibly have.
Yeah.
El Vivo has said it was a good article.
Mrs.
So there you
Bishop.
Go,
the Bishop's wife.
The Bishop's wife. That sounds like it could be a porn film. Maybe. Anyway, probably we should move on from that.
The Bishop's wife goes jogging.
Yeah.
That, I can assure you, is never going to happen. Right.
Okay. Yes.
Annie, it has been, as ever, an absolute delight. You are going to be with us, of course, for some of the test match, aren't you?
I am, yes.
So we're going to look forward to that. We wanted you on the other week when we had Who did we have? Oh, we had Kat and Shelley.
Oh, yeah.
And we thought, can we go for a...
All three.
Like the Supremes of commentary, test match commentary, but we couldn't quite get there because we couldn't find you, and it was a bit too early to wake you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
But it would have been lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
As always, yes.
Yeah.
The Bear, brilliant as ever. We're going to be on air. Of course we are. On Thursday morning, don't forget. The 15th. It's 4 a.m. UK time, so we'll be on air from about 3:50.
Yep.
And, well, one all in the series. England refreshed from an Abu Dhabi trip.
Yeah, lucky
Don't
them.
Write them off. Don't write them off.
Right.
Bye. Hope you won the toss. Take care. See you later.
Cheers.
And don't forget you can patron us at patreon.com/GorillaCricket if you really like us, because that's always helpful. Guerrilla
Cricket. Revolutionary cricket commentary.
Sports Social Podcast Network.